Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Nun Gimel. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously by a lifelong Talmud, Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Kelmer, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Also sponsored by the outdoor minyan in Woodmere, known as the Church Avenue minyan, Lizchus Rufo Shlema, for our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Rafael, Benito, who's currently in the ICU fighting COVID, Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Bentova Rosa, who's also in the ICU, and Fega Perel, Bas Devora Rivka, and also sponsored anonymously for Refuah Shlema for Necha Bas Leah, who's battling cancer, could use a Refuah. They should have a Refuah Shlema B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. Let me thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to learn Daf Nun Gimel today, and the Gemara is going to discuss, first it's going to quote two seemingly contradictory brisos about the mitzvahs biur, which we've been discussing, the idea that you have to be mevair the peros that are kala l'chaya min asada, one has to be mevair them from the bias. So we're going to have two different prices about what the timing of the mitzvah's biur is for the different types of produce. And we're going to try to reconcile those two prices. Then the Gemara is going to list several simanim or associations between certain places and things that could be found in them. What could you find on a mountain? What could you find by a stream? What can you find on a plain? And the Gemara is going to go through l'may nefkamina, what you could find. I'll go to a mountain. I'll see what I could find there. What difference does it make that we're going to identify particular characteristics of each different type of location? Then the Mishnah Amud Aleph is going to talk about the minhagim of selling animals to Goyim, large animals that are usher to sell, small animals, which is Tali and Minhag, and more Nogea to Mesachs Pesachim, of eating a minhag not to eat roasted meat at the Seder. So the Gemara is going to discuss whether a person is even allowed to ever declare meat or wheat to be for Pesach, where that's a chashash, that it looks like you're being makdashit for the Korban Pesach, because obviously, we're somewhat sensitive about, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, somewhat sensitive about identifying something as a Korban Pesach. So the Gemara is going to elaborate then on the story of Todos Ish Romi, who not only allowed and encouraged eating roasted meat on the night of the Seder, but even a Gedi Mekulas, something that actually looks like a Korban Pesach. So we're going to talk about who this character was. Who is this Todos Ish Romi? And why is it that the Chachamim were afraid to react properly or react strongly to his behavior? The last Mishnah on the daf is going to discuss the minhag to either light or to not light candles in the house and other places on Yom HaKippurim. And the Gemara is going to discuss the bracha on fire that one says in Motzai Shabbos. And that's going to bring us all the way into tomorrow's daf. As Hashem, we're going to continue the discussion of Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. So let's begin. Again, we left off at the toward the bottom of the page on Daf Nun Beis and Beis. I believe we are at Rav Nachman de Amar. I think that's where we left off, which is really, we left over the question. The Gemara told us that Rav Ilai used to cut or had cut down fruit-bearing trees during the Shemitah year. So the Gemara wasn't bothered by the Yisra Bal Tashchis. We discussed why not yesterday, but the Gemara was bothered. How's he allowed to do that? It's Perush Shavias, and the Perush Shavias are the Achla Marachmana V'lo Lehefsid. You're allowed to eat Perush Shavias, but you are not allowed to destroy Perush Shavias. So how is he allowed to cut it down? So the Gemara had suggested maybe the Perus were still not Nachas Lepira. They haven't yet grown fully, and therefore they don't have a din of a Pri, because after all, when it comes to Orla, we have such a concept. So says the Gemara, Rav Nachman D'Amar, attempted answer number one, Rav Nachman D'Amar Krabi Yossi, Rav Nachman, who holds that a pri that is not fully ripened is called a pri, holds like Rabbi Yossi, Ditnan, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Smadar Asr Meshu Piri, Upligi Rabban Ale, that Rabbi Yossi holds that a smadar, a pri that looks like a grape right away after it falls off of the vine is asur mishum arla, because it is a pri. So, and the Rabbanan disagreed. The Rabbanan hold that a smadar is mutar bi arla. So the Rabbanan hold that smadar, this partially developed grape, is not called a pri because it didn't have a gemar bishulo. It didn't fully ripen. And Rabbi Eloi, therefore, this is Gemara's answer. When Rabbi Eloi cut down the tekel tree with the fruits on them, he was following the sheet of the Rabbanan, that an underdeveloped pri is not a pri. So says Gemara, maskam of minardai umil pligi rabbanu le Rabbi Yossi. Are you sure that the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Yossi and hold bishari lanos and hold by non grapes, by any fruit other than grapes, such as dates, like Rabbi Lai cut down, that would be true? That something that's not nigmar bishulo, that something that's not fully ripened, doesn't have a shame pri at all? I'm not so sure about that, says Marva Tanan. We have a mission in the fourth paragraph of Sechah Shviyas. Meim asayin in kotzei lanos bishabis, from what, bashviyas rather, that what level of ripening is required to make it usher to cut down the ilanos during Shemitah, because you're going to be mafsid the peros. Beishamir would call the ilanos mishiyotzio, that the beginning of the emergence of the fruits on each tree. Beisil amrim hacharuvin mishiyasharshuru, that the charuv trees, the buxer trees, from when you start to see these bark that looks like chains around the trunk of the tree. Hagafanim, and when it comes to grapevines, mishiyagriu, it's when the grapes grow a little bit. And when it comes to olives, it's when the very thin shell that's called the nates grows around it. And all other ilanos, when the pre comes out of the tree. So Rabasi says that whenever we say bosar girua or pola lavan, either of these terms, who bosar, who girua, who pola lavan, that all of those mean the same thing. So says Mar pola lavan salgadeidich. Wait, pola lavan is a type of bean. How can you say that a small fruit, it means the same thing as a bean? Ela ema shi'uro kipola lavan. No, it means when we say a bosar or a girua, we mean a fruit that's the size of a pola lavan, of a white bean. But bottom line is, you see from Ravasi that that when mishiagriu when we say mishiagriu about gefanim, it means that it's bosar. Uman shamalei damar bosar in smadarlo. And who's the one that says that bosar is considered a pre? But if it were smaller or only at the smadar stage, which is an earlier stage in the development, it would not be considered a pre. Rabbanan, that's the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Yossi holds that even at the smadar stage, it's considered a pre. Vakatani sharka danos mishiyotziu. So even though this is being authored by the Rabbanan, it still says that all other trees you're not allowed to cut down in Shemitah mishiyotziu, as soon as the peros emerge. You don't need the peros to already be ripened. So don't defend and say that Rabbi Eloi was allowed to cut down the tree because he's holding like the Rabbanan that these underdeveloped tamarim on the tree don't have a dinner fruit. The Rabbanan hold that other than a grape, even underdeveloped or as of yet developed fruits do have a dinner of a pre, so he should not have been allowed to cut it down. So we're back to our kasha. How in the world is Rabbi Eloi allowed to cut down these trees during the Shemitah year? So answer number two, Ella Rabbi Eloi bidinis chani cuts. He cut down a dekel that was a male dekel tree, which was not able to produce proper fruit, and it never would have been able to produce proper fruit, and therefore he didn't violate any isser of destroying peros shviyas. Period. Now, says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Abraisa is going to describe when exactly do we do this mitzvah of biur. Now, the mitzvah of biur that we do during the Shemitah year, when it's kalal l'chayu ben asada, is a machlokas rishonim, whether it means you physically actually destroy and burn the peros, or it's just biur means you're mevar min abayis, that you do hefker, you put it outside and you're mafker it, and then if no one claims it, you can bring it back inside and eat it. We paskin that way, that you don't have to actually destroy, unlike biur. It doesn't involve actual physically destroying. It's being mevar min abayis. So when does that happen? Tan Rabbanan, ochlim banavim ad sheyichlu dolios. That you're allowed to continue to eat grapes until ad sheyichlu dolios shel ochel. That until the gefanim that are resting on poles no longer have grapes on them. Im yesh mucharos mehen, ochlim aleihen. And if you happen to notice that there are grapes that last longer, that are still out there, then you can continue to eat grapes in your house. Ochlim bazeh. You can continue to eat olives until there are no more olives available in Tekoa. Rabbi Lezer Omer, achron shel gush chalav. No, it's until there are no more olives available in Gush Chalav. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael a few summers ago, we took a tour, and the tour guide showed us that this is the area we're in now. It's called Gush Chalav. So he showed us, first of all the olive trees that you see. He says the halacha is that the Zman Biur is when these olive trees no longer produce olives, and he showed us why it's called Gush Chalav. He showed us that there were like these white streaks that go down the mountains, and he says, oh, it looks like it's flowing with milk, so it's called, there's nothing to do with milk, it's just got olive trees. but it looks like it's flowing with milk, so they call the kush chalav. So that kedeshe ani yotzei veinu motzi lobenofov lobiyikaro rova. That the point is that at that point, an ani is going to come out to look for olives. He's not going to find in the branches. He's not going to find by under the olive trees a rova hakav. He's not even going to be able to fill up a rova hakav of olives. That means it's no longer available. Ochlin begrogros, and you can continue to eat dried figs. Achiichlu pagi besini, until the pagi besini, the small figs in besini are no longer available. Amar bidolu hisgru pagi besini. No, the Pagi Besini is only called Peros as far as Meiser is concerned. Pagi Besini Vahini Dutuvina Chayavin B'Meiser, because Pagi Besini, which are always going to remain small, and Ahini Dutuvina, the dates that grow in a place called Tuvina, which are also always small, are Chayavin Meiser. But as far as the Zman Biur B'Shvius, Pagi Besini has got nothing to do with the Zman Biur of Shemitah. So Ochlin B'Tamarim, you could eat Shemitah dates Ad Sheyichla Achron Shebetzawar, until it's no longer available in Tzawar. Rav Shmuel Yalomer, Ochlin Al Shel Bein Akipin. You could eat still being somech on those dates that are between the branches of the tree. Ve'ein Ochlin Al Shel Bein Ashitzin. But you cannot rely on the dates that are between the thorns that grow around the tree, because a chaya is not going to be able to access it, because it would hurt itself by trying to access such dates. But as long as it's available to the chaya between the branches of the tree, then you can continue to eat dates. The bottom line is, everything we just said identifies the Shas Habir, but not by giving a date. It identifies the Shas Habir by giving a location where if you see that there's no more of that pre available in that location, you can rest assured it's Kala L'chayim and Asada. The reason that's important is Urim Minhi. I'll ask you a stira. We have another Brisa that also tells us when the Shas Habir is, but it gives dates to the Shas Habir. It gives a time that the Shas Habir, not based on when it's available in particular locations. The second Brisa, Ochlin Ba'anovim ata Pesach. You can eat grapes until when? Till Pesach of the eighth year. Bazesim ada Atzeres. Until Shavuos you can eat olives. But grogros dried figs ada Chanukah. But Tamarim ata Purim. So these are very known dates, obviously. Va'amar Bibi, and on that Brisa Rabbi comments, Rabbi Yochanan Tarti Basraisa Machlif, that Rabbi Yochanan switched around the last two dates. The grogros ada Chanukah, Bitmarim ada Purim. He switched them around with each other. He had Begrogros ala Purim and Bitmarim ala Chanukah. But the bottom line is, all four of these Zmanim are Zmanim, and they're not what the Brisa said previously. It says Mari Idividi Chachiru. Yeah, it's the same thing. Meaning the previous Brisa just told you that what the physical reality in the world is that corresponds to these dates. That on Purim you can go there and you'll see that this fruit is no longer available. On Chanukah you go there, you see that fruit's no longer available. But they're really saying the same thing. Or another way to be miyashiv, another answer to this question is that it says beferish in the first brisa that if there are those that last longer, then you can still rely on those. So you can't ask a steer in the brisas, because the shiurim in the first brisa are in normal circumstances. That if you check these locations and there are no longer peros available in these locations, good, then you know it's the shas habir. Whereas the zmanim that are identified in the second brisa is what happens if the peros do continue to last in other locations beyond that point. So then you can we know that you have an extension all the way up until Pesach or Chanukah or Purim or whatever, depending on the types of fruit that we're talking about. So if even after it's kalu bidloyos of ochel, the avanovim that are somewhere else, I have avanovim that are in a different location, good, you can keep eating anavim until Pesach time. So the Chazon Ish explains that according to the first teretz, the zmanim and the two brises are if you didn't go investigating. So then both of the brises are saying the same zman, and that's what you're allowed to assume. That's what you should assume. But if you investigated and you found that there are grapes that are still available after Pesach, so good. According to the first answer, you would still be allowed to eat it. According to the second answer, Pesach is the drop dead deadline, meaning Pesach is the furthest the extension can go. That the first price is telling me what happens under normal circumstances. Second price is telling me, and if you keep finding grapes after that point, second price is telling me still only out of Pesach. So it's a big nafkamina between answer number one and answer number two. The Chazon Ish points out in his commentary to Shavuos Tanya. So it says in the Gemara, we have a brayso. Shumum Yalomer, simin laharim milin. That a good simin to know whether you're on a proper mountain is whether there are gallnut trees there. Gallnut trees you could find on a mountain. The simin la amakim, and for a valley, dekalim, dekal trees. Simin linachalim, and for streams, kanim. You'll always find reeds. Simin la shvela, and for plains, shikma. You'll find sycamore trees. V'aval pishen raya ledavar zechel ledavar. And even though there's no raya, that plain always has shikma trees, there's a zechel ledavar shenemar, because the pasuk tells us in a couple of places in Tanakh, when it describes how much wealth there's going to be in the times of Shlomo, there was, rather, in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, v'yitein HaMelech es ha-kesef b'Yerushalayim ka'avonim v'es ha-razim nasan kashkamim asher b'shvelo l'rov. So how does it describe shkamim, those trees, b'shvelo l'rov, that they're so plentiful like they're in the shvela. So you see that in the shvela, that in the plains, you find shkamim. What's the rest of the pasuk talking about? That the melech is going to put kesef in Yerushalayim like rocks? Why would he do that? Why would he put rocks out in the middle of the streets of, why would he put silver out in the middle of the streets of Yerushalayim as if it were rocks? So the Mitzvah David over there explains that it's going to be very heavy, so no one's going to be able to take it. But it's an expression of wealth, that there's going to be so much wealth that he can put these very expensive things out there just to show off the wealth, but you don't have to worry that they can get stolen because it's going to be too heavy. And on the pasuk it says, "Vayitein HaMelech as hakesef as hazav b'Yerushalayim kavanim." Rashi writes a different pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that the Melech is going to put gold and silver. So Rashi says because of the rov kesef hazav that he's going to have, he's not going to be makbid and putting it out, and making park benches out of gold and silver, and that's going to be expression of wealth. The Radak says none of this is to be taken literally. It's speaking b'derech haflaga that there's going to be so much money. It's going to be as common as finding a rock on the street. You'll be able to find gold and silver. It's just there was so much money in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. The economy was so booming in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Simen laharim milin. So we said that a simen for harim is milin, is gallnuts. So simen la'amakim dekalim. Nafkamina, what would be the nafkamina to know what types of trees you could find in mountains and what kinds of trees you could find in valleys? So the bikurim, nafkamina is for bikurim, because you want to know where you should bring the bikurim from. You're always supposed to bring the bikurim, the first fruits, from the best place to bring them. Titznan, the Mishnah says, Eim nevin bikurim elam yishivas haminim. The halacha is, first of all, bikurim are only brought from the seven minim that Yisrael is praised with. Velomi dekalim shabar, but not from dekal trees that grow in the mountains, because you don't get good tamarim from dekal trees that grow in the mountains. Velomi peru shabar makim, and you don't bring bikurim from wheat and barley that grows down in the valleys, because you don't get good wheat and barley from that which grows down in the valleys. So it's trying to identify for us where you could find the best bikurim. Rabbeinu Chananel explains that it's talking about all the other six minim other than tamarim, that they don't grow properly in the amakim. Meaning the point is that you're supposed to bring from the best possible place. Similar nechalim kalim, why is it important to know that by a stream you'll find reeds, nafkamina lenachaleisan, because you're going to want to do the ritual of the egla arufa, you have to do it by a nachaleisan. So what's called a nachaleisan? If you want to call it a nachal, it has to have kanim nearby, so that's a halacha. Similar shvela shikma, nafkamina lemekachumemkar, that if I tell someone I'm selling a plane, it has to have shikma trees, that and if it doesn't, he can claim that it was mekachtos, that he assumed, that you tell me you're selling a shvela, that it must have shikma trees. Hasha daslachi, once we have that nafkamina kulunami lemekachumemkar, we can say that all of it is about mekachumemkar, because once we're identifying what you can expect to find in each location, so when you sell any of these things, you can assume that it's about that if it doesn't have what you expect to find there, then it would be a mekach totus. Okay, new Mishnah now. There is a halacha that a person is not allowed to sell a behema gasa to a guy. And the reason you're not allowed to sell a behema gasa to a guy is that we're afraid you might come to lend it or rent it to him, and he's going to do malacha with it on Shabbos, and the Yisrael is mitzvah and shvisas pamto on Shabbos. The pasuk says, lo sasa kam lacha, not only you and your avdach and everything, v'chol bam techa, even your animals. You're not allowed to have your animals doing malacha on Shabbos. So if you still own the animal and you rent it or lend it to a guy, so then it's going to be a violation of Shvisas Behema. And also, to sell it to a guy on Erev Shabbos, right before Shkia, we're also afraid that the guy is going to ask to test the animal. So he's gonna, so you're gonna call the animal, and the animal's gonna recognize your voice, and it's gonna respond to your command, and that's also gonna be a violation of mechamer achar b'amto on Shabbos. Good. So because it's gonna be schlepping something to Rosh Rabim if it goes into Shabbos as you're negotiating with the non-Jew. So those chashashos are only by a behema gasa, because behema gasa does malacha. So that's why we're worried about shvisas behema. That's why we're worried about a chashash mechamer. Behema daka, there's no iser, meaning you don't have a goat doing malacha for you. So there's no iser of selling a behema daka to a non-Jew. It's not a risk of chil Shabbos in any which way to sell a behema daka to a non-Jew. So, but that's a matter of minhag. So says the Mishnah, makom shnagulim kar behema daka lanachrim mochrin, makom shalonagulim kar, or probably better, shenagu lo limkar ein mochrin. That if the minig is that they sell behema daka, good, so then you can follow the minig and sell behema daka. But if the minig in that place is that they're even machmir not to sell behema daka, so don't even sell a behema daka. But kol makom ein mochrin la behema gasa, agolim usyachin shleimun ushvurin, and you're not allowed to sell behema gasa even when they're very young, like an egel or siachin or a small donkey, because people are going to come to be matir selling large ones that are ready to work out also. And not only that, shleimin ushvurin, even when they're broken and they're not royal malacha, you're still not, the gezera still applies. It's a low plug. You're still not allowed to sell them because people will come to think that you could sell all sorts of cows and donkeys if you sell even the shvurim. The Teferis Yisrael on the Mishnayis in Masech Savod Zara says, well, wait a second, isn't this a gezera le gezera? I mean, the whole list of selling a behema gasa in the first place is only because he might do it. You might come to lend it to him and he'll do malacha with it on Shabbos, or you'll come to violate mechamer late in the day on Erev Shabbos, or when you start the sale late in the day on Erev Shabbos. So now we're going to make a gzera not sell shvurim, atu selling large ones, and large ones is only gzera in the first place. So he says, yeah, this it's another example of where you have to say kulachad gzerihi, that whenever they made the gzera, they just included shvurim also in the gzera. It wasn't a gzera. The gzera is when they make a gzera and they see that in order to protect that gzera, at a later date they come and they make an additional gezerah. But over here it's kulachad gezerah. At the original gezerah they included shvurim as well. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He holds that a shvura is mutter because there's no chashash of doing any melacha. Ben b'seira matir b'sus, and ben b'seira was matir by a horse as well, because there's no malacha that a horse does that's a malacha min haTorah. What does a horse do? It carries a person. Carrying a person, we have a principle of a chay nosei es atzmo. So that itself would only be a malacha on a drabanan level. So they weren't gozer, don't sell a horse, because the horse might end up working on Shabbos. If the only work it would ever do on Shabbos would only be a malacha drabanan anyway, because you have a principle of a chay nosei es atzmo, that a person who's being carried is always shifting his weight to make it easier for whatever is carrying him, and therefore it's not considered to be real malacha. Now, makom shagu lechol tzli b'leili psachim, if there's a place where the minig is to eat roasted meat on the night of the Seder, and they're not worried about it, that it looks like you're eating Korban Pesach outside Yerushalayim, so ochlin, good, follow that minig. Makom shagu shalel lechol ein ochlin, but in a place where the minig is not to eat tzli on the night of the Seder, then don't eat tzli on the night of the Seder. Amru d'mrav, asal adam sheomer basa zeh lepesachu. It's also for a person to declare this meat is for Pesach, even though all he means to say is this meat is for the holiday that's coming up, and I want to have nice meat for my Sudas Yantif. He doesn't intend to say I'm making this a Korban Pesach. He's in gourmet glot. What is the thing's in packaging already? It's in a. He says he's not looking at an animal. He's talking about a meat. So he's going to say that's the Korban Pesach, obviously. You know what I mean? But still, you're not allowed to say Mnishan Nira Kemakdish Behemto Vochel Kachem Bachutz. It looks like you're being Makdish Behema and eating Kachem Bachutz. That even though everyone knows that you can't be Makdish a piece of meat in packaging in the supermarket, but we have to be Choshesh that the people who see are going to think that you're Makdiv, that you're being Makdish the way Rashi explains with Kedusha's Damim for a Korban Pesach. Meaning, not that I'm going to make this a Korban Pesach, I can't make a brisket, a carbon Pesach. No, but then I'm going to make a Kedushas Damim, then I'm going to sell it, and I'll use that money to buy a carbon Pesach. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos is bothered by this. Tosos says, if that's the Chashash, that it's based on Kedushas Damim, so the Isra of eating it, it wouldn't be that it looks like you're eating Kachem Chutz LYerushalayim, because even in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat that which has Kedushas Damim. It should have said, Mibnei Shanira, Kimol Bakachim, that you're violating Me'ila. Got nothing to do with it being Kodesh. That's only when somebody has Kedushas Haguf, and therefore Tosfos says, no, the Chashash is that when you say Basar Zeh LePesach, people are going to think you were already Makdish that Behema while it was still alive, and you say, oh yeah, that's my Karban Pesach meat. Meaning that that while it was alive, people are going to assume that while it was alive, you're already designated as a Karban Pesach, and now you're just pointing it out, that Basar Zeh LePesach, that's the Basar that I had previously designated for the Karban Pesach. So the bottom line is, the Rabbi Yudam Rav tells us, you're not allowed to say Basar Zeh LePesach, because it looks like you were, at some point, were Makdish this Behema, and now you're eating Kachem Bechutz. Amar Rav Papa, Dafka Basar, Avulchiti Lo. It's only a problem when it comes to meat, it's not a problem when it comes to wheat. You're going to point to wheat and say, that's for Pesach, no one's going to think it's for a Karban Pesach. Why? Deminta Lepischa Kamar, because everyone knows that you need to designate wheat to guard and to make sure that there's no chimutz, because you need shmurah matzah for Pesach, so no one's going to think that you mean to designate that as a carbon Pesach. So it's interesting. The Gemara tells us that when it comes to meat, the chashash is very high, because meat is something that would be used for a carbon Pesach. When it comes to wheat, the chashash is very low, because by wheat, there's something else that you could mean that's logical, that a person normally means when they say the Pesach, since you need to be shomer it, you need to guard it for the sake of Pesach. What's interesting is the Gemara doesn't say what about everything else. I mean, what about something that's not, it couldn't be used as a carbon Pesach, so it's not basar vegetables, right? It's not basar, but it's also not wheat, meaning it's also not something that needs special shmira for the sake of Pesach. So how do we interpret that? So that's a major discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. Okay, so says Gemara, basar lo, is it true that you're not allowed to say that basar is on the Pesach? Meisvei Amr Rabbi Yossi Todos Ishromi. There was a man called Todos Ishromi, that Hineges B'nei Romi, he encouraged people in Rome to have the following hanaga, lechel gediyim ukulasin b'leil pesachim, to eat helmeted goats on the night of Pesach. It means to roast the goat in such a way, in the same way that they would roast the carbon Pesach, which is by taking the fat and the insides of the animal and roasting it on the spit outside by the head of the animal, so it looks like the animal is wearing a helmet, but that's the way they would roast the carbon Pesach. And he would tell them not just to eat meat, not just to eat roasted meat, but to roast it exactly the way you would roast the carbon Pesach. And Shalch Lo, the Chum sent a message to him, Il Mole Todos Ata, you're lucky you are who you are, because if you weren't Todos, because Anu Alecha Nidu, we'd put you in Cherim, Shata Machlis Shal Kachem Achutz, because you're being Machl Kachem Achutz. Now, it's not actual Kachem, but it's that which looks like Kachem. You're encouraging people to eat that which looks like Korban Pesach. So Kachem Sal Kadaitach, Kachem? He's not even being Machl Kachem, Eleima, Korov Lachlis Shal Kachem Achutz. That it's very close to being Machl Kachem Achutz, because Gedim Uklasim look like Korbanos Pesach, and people are going to think that they're that what others are eating is a Korban Pesach. So says Gemara, wait a second. This is a kasha on Rav. What was the problem that Rabbanan had with it? Was that it was mekulas, that they made it mamish exactly the way they would make the Karban Pesach. Mekulas in, eshein mekulas lo, that had it not been a gedim mekulas, apparently just the fact that it's roasted would not have been a problem. Why is it that Rav said that you're not even basar stam is aser? So Amri said, Gemara said, no, there's a big difference. Mekulas lo shna amar lo shna lo amar. By gedim mekulas, it doesn't matter whether you said basar zel the Pesach, or he didn't say Basar Zeh LePesach, just by virtue of the fact that it's a Gedim Mekulas, that's the problem. But She'enu Mekulas, if it's just regular meat, then Pirish in, lo Pirish lo. Then it's only a problem if you said Basar Zeh LePesach. But if you're allowed to eat meat on Pesach, you just shouldn't say Basar Zeh LePesach. You just shouldn't identify the meat LePesach. Rav Acha Masnila LaHamas Nisa K'Rabbi Shimon. I think some of the Hashkachas by meat, when they don't say Kasher LePesach, we say kasher la achila bipas or something like that. You know, they add in some extra words in order to not violate this halacha, this statement of Rav of Basel Pesach. Ravacha Masin La Hamasisik Rabbi Shimon. Ravacha taught this brisa of Todus like Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon said it, not Rabbi Yossi said it. I mean, Rabbi Shimon was the author. So Masik Rav Sheshes Bishlam Mantani like Rabbi Yossi Nicha. I understand if the brisa of Todus was taught by Rabbi Yossi, that fits very well. El Man Masin like Rabbi Shimon Min Nicha. But does it work out to say that it was authored by Rabbi Shimon? Vatanan. But don't we have a Mishnah Maseches Menachos, a little bit of background, where the Mishnah tells us if a person takes a neder to bring a mincha that is not a kosher mincha, he says Harei Alai Mincha Minasa Orim. Now you're not allowed to bring barley as a carbon mincha, but a person says those words Harei Alai Mincha Minasa Orim. So what do you do now? What's the person obligated to do? So the halacha is he brings a mincha minachitim because there's no mincha snedava that you could bring from saorim. So his neder is not going to be chal on saorim. But when he said Harei Alai Mincha, that meant something. So that was the Tanakama. But Rabbi Shimon Potro. Rabbi Shimon disagreed. Rabbi Shimon says he's totally potter from bringing anything, because you not only pay attention to the first half of a sentence, you have to pay attention to his entire sentence. And at the end, he said, Minasa Orim. So he wanted to say that he's bringing a Mincha Sa'orim, and he made a mistake. He thought there is such a thing. So his whole statement was nonsense. So therefore, you don't assume that he meant to say, I want to bring a Karb Mincha, whatever a Karb Mincha is. By the way, Minasa Orim. No, it was one sentence, and his sentence was nonsense, so he doesn't have to bring anything. Shalois nadiv, kederach hamisnadvim, because it's not the derech to be misnadiv, minchas chitim, by saying that you bring a minchas sa'orim. So according to Rabbi Shimon, we don't have to be, if that's the case, l'chora, according to Rabbi Shimon, you shouldn't have to be choshish that people who see him eating a gedi makulas are going to say that he's eating kachem b'chutz, because while the gedi was alive, he never said harez el pesach, like someone who's normally makdish an animal. And when he roasted it, even if he did say Reza LePesach, it's worthless because you can't be makdish. He's not makdish kederach hamakdishim. So according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that whenever a person is not makdish kederach, then it's a zero, it's a nothing. Then you shouldn't have to worry about a gedi makulas. So that's the kasha. That if you want to say that Rabbi Yossi offered the brisa, fine. But Rabbi Shimon, it goes against what he says in Maseches Menachos. Somebody Ravina Ravashi, Mad Masak Rabbi Yossi Minicha. Does it really work so well according to Rabbi Yossi? Va'amar Rav Rabbi Shimon Beshitas Rabbi Yossi Amara. Rabbi Shimon who patters someone who says Harei Alei Mincha Minasaorim holds like Shitus Rabbi Yossi Damar Af Begmar Dvar Vad Minitvas, that a person that we pay attention to the second half of what a person says as well, that he means to say everything, and therefore we pay attention to even the part of the sentence that didn't seem to make sense. So my love, so what does Rabbi Yossi mean when he says that he's not Misnadiv Kederach HaMisnadvim is means Rabbi Shimon Sovlak Rabbi Yossi, that if Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi that we listen to the second half of the sentence, Rabbi Yossi Nami Sovelak Rabbi Shimon. It must be that Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Shimon that when you say that Lo Nadav Kedarach HaMisnadvim, that the Nedar is not Chal at all. So it doesn't help you to say that it's going like Rabbi Yossi, because we have the right to assume that Rabbi Yossi agrees to Rabbi Shimon that when someone does not Misnadav Kedarach HaMisnadvim, there's no Nedar at all. So a person who is saying Gedim Akulas, that it's already killed, that it should be for Kachim, that's worthless. That's not the Kedarach HaMisnadvim. So it says Marlo, bad assumption. Rabbi Shimon Sovel like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi's general shita that begmar dvar vadam nitfas, but Rabbi Yossi holds Sovel like Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Yossi does not necessarily mean that. It does not necessarily hold like Rabbi Shimon that when you're not misnadiv kederach misnadvim, that whatever you said is worthless. He holds that if you say harei alai mincha minasa orim, you have to bring a mincha minachitim. He holds begmar dvar vadam nitfas, and according to the gemar dvar of, he shouldn't be chayiv, but he's chayiv because someone who's taking a neder is not motzi dvar v'levat. And therefore, we have to assume that he's trying to be mechayev himself in whatever he could be chayev in, even though it goes against what he actually said. And therefore, if you say that Rabbi Yossi is the author of the Brisa of Todos, that the eating of the Gedim Akulas looks like a Schilas Kachem Mechutz, that works out very well. Because if he said at the time of the roasting of the Gedi, Hareza the Pesach, even though you can't be makdish it with Kedushas Karban when it's already shechted, but we can assume that he means that in order that it shouldn't be that he's being motzi Dvar Vatala, he means to be makdish the basar, the way Rashi says, b'kedushas damim. It must mean that he means to do whatever he's allowed to do. So he's not allowed to make it a Karban Pesach at this point, but he's allowed to make it hegdish. So it must be that that's what he means, that he's being makdish with kedushas damim. So that is why the Braisa could be authored by Rabbi Yossi, but cannot be authored by Rabbi Shimon. But going back to revisit, what did the Braisa say exactly? So he said this Tadus Ishromi was manic that people should make a Gedima Kulas, and the Chacham were upset at him, and they said, if you weren't Todos, then we would put you in Nidoi. Who's Todos? Why wouldn't they put him in Nidoi? Why do they have to refrain from putting him in Nidoi just because his name is Todos? So Yibayilu, Tadus Ishromi, Gavar Rabbahava, was he a Gadol B'Torah, and that's why they had to be so careful? Or was he a strong, powerful person? And that's why they had to be careful. The Chasam Sofer, in his commentary to the Torah, says Nafkamina would be, meaning my Nafkamina, whether, okay, either way, you're not going to put a Gavar Rabba in Chayrim, and you're not going to put a person that you can't start up with in Chayrim. So Chasam Sofer, on the Torah, explains Nafkamina, based on the Magen Avraham and some Tafresh Sadi, quotes a Ma'arik that it's a Minik Tov that when you find a minak tov in a particular posek, you can't be mevatel in a place where they have that minag, even though there's a tzad iser to the minag. Meaning, if a certain posek quotes a particular minag, even if it seems like there may be a tzad iser, but if it's found in by an adam gadol, you can't be mevatel. So now I need to know if I find a place that does like Todos Ishromi. So if he's a talmud chacham, so I can't be mevatel the minag. But if he's a balag open, so then I am allowed to be mevatel the minag. In the chidushim of the Chassam Sofer on Shas, he says not enough gemina is that if he was not dum gadol b'torah, and that's why they were not menadeh him. You see from there that you're not menadeh the talmud chacham, unlike what the Gemara said in yesterday's daf. But if they were not menadeh him because of the fear, so you don't learn anything about doing a nidui to a talmud chacham. Ben Yoyada says the opposite, that if he was a bala grofim, you should bring a raya that even when you have a tzorah to be menada a person, you're allowed to refrain from doing so because you're afraid of the guy. That you don't have to say, you know, that lo suguru mipnayish, don't be afraid and be menada a person. If the reason they refrained was because he's a bala grofin, apparently that's an indication that you're allowed to refrain because he's a bala grofin. So Tashma says, well, I'll bring you a raya to be poshet this suffix from a brisa. Who is this Todos? Because we have a drasha that Todos said. Ooh, so that's an indication. If we have a famous drasha that he said, it's an indication that he's Talmud Chacham. Odzu Darish Todos Ishromi. Todos Ishromi had the drasha as follows: Maro Chanani Mishal Vazari Shemosra Atzmal Kedush Shem LeKivshan Eish. What made Chanani Mishal Vazari decide to give up their lives in the Kivshan Eish and to ignore the mitzvah of V'chay Bahem V'lo Sheyamos Bahem? So Nasu Kal V'Chomer V'Atzman. They made a Kal V'Chomer Mitzvardeim from the Tzvardeya, from Makas Tzvardeya Mitzrayim, and you don't get a better Daf Yomi coincidence than that. This week we read about Makas Tzvardeya from the Tzvardeim Mitzrayim. The Mat Tzvardeim Shem Mitzvah Makdush Same. That the pasuk says about the tzvardim who do not have a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, they're frogs, and yet they went into the ovens and into the kneading bowls. Well, wait a second, were the ovens on when the tzvardim were jumping into the ovens? They were being moser nefesh. Well, when are the kneading bowls right next to the oven? That's when the oven is hot, because as soon as you finish kneading the dough and arranging the dough, you put it right into the oven. So that's when the oven is already hot. So, and they were jumping into hot ovens and killing themselves. So we who have a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, say Chanani Mishael V'Azaria, all the more so should be willing to be thrown into a kivshan. Tosfos raises the question that the ma'isa happened b'farhesia in front of 10 Jews, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin Dafayin Dalet tells us that b'farhesia everything becomes yarig val yavar anyway. That there is no mitzvah of v'chaybem. So what do you need a kal v'chomer from the tzvardim? Furthermore, Rabbeinu David raises the question that v'chaybem is only by shar averus, but avodah zarah yichayv to be moser nefesh, and over here was avodah zarah. So the Marsha suggests that could be that Todos held like the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees and holds that even by avodah zarah there is a din of v'chayv ben v'lo sheyemus ben, and it's yavar val yaharig. And it could be that there weren't 10 Jews there, and it's therefore not considered b'faresia. Tosfos overquotes Rabbeinu Tam that the tzelem that Nebuchadnezzar made was not an avodah zarah; it was an andarta shel melech. It was something that was made for the covet of the melech. So if it wasn't avodah zarah, you don't have the normal din of yarig val yavar. Memela, they need this kal v'chomer. And Tosfos quotes a re that they could have run away like Daniel did, and that's what the maro limsar atzman. Why did they create this confrontation? Meaning, if you could have run away, you wouldn't have had to do the avodah. Even if it was avodah zarah, you wouldn't have had to do it. But they created this confrontation to dafka be mekadei shem shemayim like the tzvardim. Prichadosh raises the question that if it wasn't avodah zarah like Rabbeinu Tam said, how were they allowed to be Moser Nefesh? if it's not Avodah Zarah. Tosos holds in Maseches Avodah Zarah that you're allowed to be Mosir Nefesh for Shar Mitzvos as well. But the Rambam in Yisrael HaTorah says you're not. You're not allowed to volunteer to be Mosir Nefesh for Shar Mitzvos. So Tosos suggests, the Prichad suggests rather, that the Gedolei Adar of their stature, who are going to generate such a massive Kiddush Hashem by doing this, are allowed to be Mosir Nefesh even for non Avodah Zarah related issues. Rabbi Yosef Ravina Amar Matil Milai Lekis Shel Tamidei Chachamim Haya, that this Tadus Ishromi was someone who used to give a lot of business to Tamidei Chachamim. To Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kala Matil Milai Lekis Tamidei Chachamim Zochav Yosef Yeshiva Shel Maila, that such a person is going to sit in Gan Eden near the Tamidei Chachamim because he's supporting Tamidei Chachamim Shneamar Ki Betzela Chachma Betzela Kesef. Now it's the Tzela Chachma because the Chachamim are going to have a more honored place because there's nothing that replaces actual Torah learning. As much as it's nice and good and important to support Tamidei Chachamim, there's nothing that's as valuable as actual Torah learning, but they're going to enjoy a nice place in Gan Eden, and that's what Tadus Ishromi, what such a person who enjoyed such a nice place in Gan Eden. Says the Mishnah, Makom Shalala Hagilas Ner B'Leil Yom Kippur Madlikin, place where they have a minute to light candles on the Yom Kippur night, there you should be Madlik. Makom Shalala Hagilas Ner B'Leil Yom Kippur. If they don't have such a minute, or they have a minute not to light candles on Yom Kippur night, so don't be Madlik. Madlikin, the candles were lit, but Batei Knesiyos, Batei Midrashos, Mavuos HaFeilim, in the shuls, and the Batei Medrash, and in the dark alleys, Valgabe Echolim, and also by a sick person's bed. So Tanah Bein Shamru LaHadlik Bein Shamru Shalol LaHadlik Shnei LaDavarech Neskavnim. Meaning both places, both those places that had a minhag dafka to light candles, and those places that have a minhag dafka not to light candles, they both have good kavanos. Meaning both minhagim are rooted in the fact that there's an iser of Tashma Shamita on Yom HaKippurim, and those that dafka do light candles figured that since it's asr l'shamish mitasr l'aran er, by having candles lit, no one's going to do Tashma Shamita. Those who dafka don't light candles just try to create a situation where a man is not going to see his wife and become aroused, and therefore will avoid Tashma Shamita. But either way, it was l'shem shemayim. Amar b'shur dorish Rava, and based on that, Rava said the drasha va'amich kulam tzadikim l'olam yirshu aretz. So bein shomer l'hadik, bein shomer shalol l'hadik, shem lo niskavna l'davar echad, that they're all trying to be marchik me'avera. That's why amich kulam tzadikim. Amar b'dum shmol ein mevarchan ala or ela b'motzai shabbos holu tchilas b'yasahu. The time we make a bracha on fire on the or is only on motzai shabbos, meaning not on motzai yom kippurim, because the tchilas b'yasahu of fire was on motzai shabbos, but it had nothing to do with the motzai yom kippurim. The rishonim raised the question that why don't we say bracha on fire every time you see fire? It's also lamas be'olamazeh below bracha. The gemara brachas of lamedei says, so why don't you always say a bracha? So the rishonim point out that the bracha on fire is not a brachas hanenin, it's a brachas hashevach. Meaning it's not that I'm getting hanah from it now, that's not the point, it's a brachas hashevach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such a thing. So anyway, Amalei Ahu Saba V'Itema Rab Bar Bachana, Ahu Saba, and some say Rab Bar Bachana said, Yishar V'Cheinam Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, that you don't say a bracha on fire on Motzai Yom HaKippurim, you only say a bracha on fire on Motzai Shabbos. So Ula Avarach of Chamra V'Azil, Ula was riding on a donkey, V'Avashakal V'Azil Rabbi Abba Miyamine V'Rabba Bar Bachana Mismalei, and Rabbi Abba was to his right and Rabbi Bar Bachana was to his left. Rabbi Abba Lu'ula. So Rabbi Abba said to Ula, Vadi Damris Mishmed Rabbi Yochanan, is it true what I heard about you that you said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Mavarchan ala Or, Ela B'Motzai Shabbos, Hol Tchilas B'Yasahu, that you only say a bracha on Or, Motzai Shabbos, because that's the Tchilas B'Yasahu of Or? So Hadar Ula, Chazbe Rabbi Arbachina Bishus. So Ula turned to his left and he looked with an angry face at Rabbi Arbachana, meaning Ula meant to be Merames to him that he's the one that said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't say that. He that on Motzai Yom HaKippurim you should be mevarich on a fire as well. So Amaleis, Rabbi Rabbachana said back to Ula, Ana lav aha amri. I didn't say that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that you don't say a bracha on or on Motzai Yom HaKippurim. You're right, I know that Rabbi Yochanan held you do. Ela aha amri, here's what I said. The Tana kamed Rabbi Yochanan, that one of the chamim who used to teach brises in front of Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Yom HaKippurim shechal yos b'shabes af b'makom sha'amru shalol la'adik. When you Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, even in a place where they say that that you shouldn't light Neros on a regular Yom Kippur, but when it falls b'Shabbos, then Madlikin b'Kavod Shabbos. You should light candles for the sake of Kavod Shabbos. Va'ani Rabbi Yochanan Masreis, Rabbi Yochanan said, v'chachamim osrim, that the Chachamim say, no, you don't light candles in Yom Kippurim, even when it's Chal on Shabbos, until Motzai Shabbos, because if the minhag of not lighting on Yom Kippur overrides the halacha that you normally do light on Shabbos. So I mentioned Rabbi Yochanan about Eish on Motzai Shabbos in that context, not about in general, whether you say Brach of Bori Morei Eish on Motzai Yom HaKippurim. No, that I understand Rabbi Yochanan held that you do. So I'm like, Adote. So he says, okay, that I'm owed it to you. That in fact, Rabbi Yochanan actually said. Okay, Beth Shom, we'll pick up with Kari Alayu at the bottom of the page tomorrow.